All right, go with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, and our text will be verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I think that's exciting. I think that's really exciting. Be not forgetful to entertain. Some have entertained. The exhortation and the commandment of this verse is, be hospitable. Be hospitable. That's what entertain means. To extend love toward. To extend hospitality toward. Hospitality means friendliness. It means to welcome with warmth, kindness, and generosity. Now, we're going to start this message right here. Thank God for the hospitality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the fact that He purposed in His heart to entertain strangers. He willingly extended love toward. He willingly and happily extended friendliness toward. He welcomed with warmth, kindness, and generosity a bunch of strangers like us. Products of sin. The exact opposite of His hospitality. Not friendly toward Him. At enmity against Him, the scripture says. An enemy of His. Not warm. Cold as ice toward Him. Cold, so cold, so cold. Not kind. Filled with hate. Just filled with hate. Not generous. Self. Selfish. Me. Me. We love the song that says, against the God that ruled the sky, I fought with hands uplifted high. Despised the mention of His grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, almighty love, arrest that man. Engulf that man in My hospitality. Include that man in the friendliness of redemption. Make him one of My friends that I laid down My life for. Welcome him into the covering of My blood. Give him the warmth of life. Show him the loving kindness of My tender mercy, the kindness of forgiveness. Grant him the generosity of grace. That's the hospitality of Christ toward sinners. He welcomed us into His home. There's an Italian restaurant, and they had the slogan at one time, when you're here, you're family. They meant that figuratively. Our Lord says in reality to every sinful stranger that He has shown loving hospitality to, every stranger He's welcome into His home, you're here. This is what He says to him, you're here. Right now are you the sons of God. You're here, and when you're here, you're family. You are family. This is not just hospitality. This is family. Oh, the unsearchable riches. Oh, the unsearchable riches of the fact that Christ would entertain strangers. Now, is that not reason enough for us to in turn be hospitable towards each other? That's all the reason we need. He said, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You've done it directly to me. You've done it to them, you've done it to me. Doesn't seeing his great hospitality, his loving generosity in entertaining us, doesn't that make you want to invite somebody over? Seeing how he has welcomed into his home. For Christ's sake, as God for Christ's sake has been so hospitable toward me, when I see everything he's done for me, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? For Christ's sake, because of his warmth, his kindness, his generosity in giving his all to and for his people. Because he washed us in his own blood. Because he clothed us in his own righteousness. Because he served us and fed us with heavenly bread and living water. For Christ's sake, our commandment is, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Be hospitable. Be hospitable. Look with me at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Be given to hospitality. Absolutely given to hospitality. That's a requirement for being a pastor. It's one of God's requirements. He must be given to hospitality. He must be loving. He must be friendly, welcoming, warm, kind, generous. I don't know that I've ever said something with so much conviction from it. I say that with conviction. I acknowledge that's what God commands. I acknowledge that I fall short of it. And I'm sorry. But that's what God commands, whether I live up to it or not. And that's what God has commanded to all of his saints, not just pastors, every stranger who has received the loving hospitality of Christ. In return, he said, be given to the hospitality of each other. Verse 17 right here in Romans 12 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Show love and warmth and kindness and generosity to all men. All men. But look at Galatians 6. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Show kindness and hospitality to all men. Entertain strangers, but especially if that stranger is pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. Especially. Entertain brethren, especially. Romans 12 said, prefer them. Prefer them. Back in our text in Hebrews 13, verse 2 is coming off of verse 1. And verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love. Don't be forgetful to entertain each other. Brethren, show friendliness and kindness to each other. God is commanding. Paul is exhorting. I am repeating. This right here is such a wise way for a child of God to go through life. This right here is such a wise way for a child of God to go through life. This right here is such a wise way for a child of God to go through life. Open your home to people, brethren, especially. Give them a place to sleep. Give them a meal. It will be your blessing more so than theirs. It will be. Let's teach our children to do the same thing. Let them learn from our example. Let them experience the blessing of having other believers in our home and hopefully having conversation around the gospel. I grew up, my parents were big entertainers. And I grew up listening to countless hours of adults sitting around our table talking about the gospel. And I just cannot tell you how invaluable that was for me growing up, I'm sure for my parents. So valuable for all of us. What a priceless thing to expose ourselves to. And to expose our children to. Verse 2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. The word angel means messenger. Look with me at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, the Apostle John said in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Verse 12 says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Verse 16 says, and he had in his right hand seven stars. Verse 20 says, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels. Messengers, the word means messengers. The seven stars are the angels or the messengers of the seven churches, the perfect number of congregations all over the world, all throughout time, all of God's churches. And he went on to say, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. In chapter 2, verse 1, he said, unto the angel or the messenger, the one who is to deliver the message to the church of Ephesus, write this to him. So pastors and preachers and teachers are messengers. They do the same work that angels do. They deliver messages. Look at Revelation 22. Verse Revelation 22, verse 8 says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God." The Lord sent to John one of his fellow servants, one of the prophets, to deliver a message to him. And that's why John called him an angel. He was a messenger. But God's people are not angels. They're not angels in heaven. They're definitely not angels on this earth. God's people know they're not angels. They're far from it. We're sinners. Not angels, sinners. Redeemed sinners from among men. The scripture mentions in a few different places the capital A angel of the Lord, meaning the Lord came himself to deliver the message. But as God, he is not an angel. He's God. And as man, he is not an angel. He's man. Here's how we know this. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." So in our text, when it says some have entertained angels unaware, what that means is some have entertained angels and had no idea. Had no idea. Now there's a lot we could say about angels. There's a lot we have said about angels in previous messages. The subject will come back up and we'll say more about it. Tonight, for the sake of time, I want to show you some things about their interaction with God's people. Across my page, we read it for the scripture reading, Hebrews 1, verse 13 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemy thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" God's angels are ministering spirits. Ministering messengers. People like to call them guardian angels. That's exactly what they are. They're God's servants sent forth to minister for them. They're sent forth to take care of those that shall be heirs of salvation. God has provided them for his people. They're sent from God. He gets all the glory in the care of his people. He is the one who created angels. He's the one who sent his angels to care for and protect and minister to his elect. And they do. They do. And this will bring a believer great comfort. Great comfort. Everything that is in our life, everything that goes on in our life, our God is in complete control of it. And not just that, he is actively involved in it. He has his hand on it. And he has his ministers doing his bidding around it. And God's people are going to be cared for according to all the power of God and his ministers and all of heaven. All of heaven is looking out for every single one of God's people. We always think about the worst that could happen to us. And there are some things that, for the sake of the gospel, men have had to go through and women have had to go through. Horrible, horrible things. But the fact of the matter is the only way things like that can happen is if it is in the direct purpose and will of God. Outside of that, nothing can happen to God's people. Nothing. God's people are absolutely invincible. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 2, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 6 says, But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him, the one who did the offending, that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Verse 10 says, Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. What he's saying is, you want to harm one of the Father's little ones? Be warned. Their angels are looking at the face of the Father, waiting on Him to say the word. Waiting on Him to just give the command. They were created to do His bidding concerning them which shall be heirs of salvation. Created for God's people, and they're in constant interaction with Him. Constant. It was that way in the beginning of time as we know it. Look with me at Genesis 18. Genesis 18, if your Bible's like mine, the heading at the top of my page says, Abraham entertaineth three angels. And verse 2 says, He lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Three men. And verse 13 says, And the Lord said unto Abraham. One of them was the Lord, and there were two angels. Genesis 19, verse 1 says, And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. They were just walking down the street, right here on this earth. He walked right into the gate of Sodom. Look at Genesis 32. Genesis 32, verse 1 says, And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And they all talked. Abraham had the gospel to him. God came with two angels. Abraham had the gospel preached to him. Lot was literally delivered from death. Jacob received some wise counsel on how to deal with his brother Esau. Not only did that kind of interaction take place in the beginning, it took place in the middle of time as we know it. Go with me to Matthew 28. I'll be quick here. Matthew 28. Verse Matthew 28, verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. His countenance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. But I can't find any mention of angels having wings. Not one time. The scripture says the seraphims have 6 wings. It says the cherubims have 4 wings. I cannot find one scripture that says angels have any wings. I understand why we all think they do. It's because they can fly. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 9 that the angel Gabriel, being caused to fly swiftly, came and touched me. So they can fly. But every time they are described in the scripture, they're described as a man. Daniel actually said, the man Gabriel. And I was going to take you through these accounts of the sepulcher, and you'll see that when they went in, it says they saw a young man. They saw 2 men. Acts chapter 1, when our Lord ascended back to glory, and they were all standing there gazing up into heaven, 2 men said, why stand you here gazing into heaven? He's going to come back just like you saw him go up. 2 men. So here's the point. In the beginning of time as we know it, God constantly sent his angels to care for his people in their time of need. In the middle of time as we know it, God constantly sent his angels to care for his people in their time of need. It is still that way today. Our God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He deals with us exactly like he dealt with them. There is no doubt in my mind, based on the scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 2, that some believers have had interaction with angels and had no idea. No idea. Have you ever had somebody come along, a stranger, come along at the exact moment in time that you needed some desperate help? And you say, like many people say, man, you're a godsend. It might literally have been a godsend. Hannah and I, 11 years ago, we were living in Rocky Mount. And we had to go to Nashville for something. And Hannah was extremely pregnant. Very, very close to her due date. Her doctor said, I don't recommend you go. Our wise response was, it'll be fine. So we head out down the interstate, 70 miles an hour, and this guy pulls up beside me and he's mouthing something. He's hollering something to me. And I can't hear him. I'm trying to make out his words. And what he was saying to me was, your car is leaking water. And what I read from his lips was, your car is on fire. And I said, what? And I pulled that car over on the side of the interstate and told Hannah, get out. My temp was pegged out. I was pegged out. It was getting to my head. I thought, I'm hot. We're on fire. So we got out and I ran behind our vehicle and on fire. I saw the water trail. I realized what he was saying. Your car is leaking water. All right, so now here we stand. This was in June. It was hot. Man, it was hot, hot. And the first thing that went through my mind is, I don't know how to fix his car. I don't know anything about cars. And then I look at Hannah, and Hannah's standing there, and I thought, why did I do this? I don't know how to deliver a baby either. And, you know, my situation was probably not as desperate as I thought it was at that moment, but it was desperate to me. I was desperate. Lord, help us. Please help us. I don't know what to do. I didn't have a smartphone back then, and AAA and all that. Lord, help us. Well, a black truck pulled up and a guy said, "You guys need a ride somewhere?" And it caught me off guard. And my initial response inside was, we'll be fine, thanks. But I looked, he had a little boy in the back seat. And it put me at ease, and I said, that'd be wonderful. So he took us to three different places looking for a tow truck. We found one. I came out and told him, thank you for all this. They're going to get me taken care of. I've tried to give him some money. Thank you for stopping. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your gas. No, that's fine. I hope it works out for you. Thanks a lot. See you later. I wondered then, and I still wonder to this day, I wonder if my own simple desperation, if our God in His kind hospitality said, go help him. You guys need a ride somewhere? Now, a lot of people are going to hear that and say, That's silly. That's ridiculous. All that is you just getting lost in your imagination. Maybe so. Maybe that was just a guy and his little boy. Maybe no. Our God is in direct communication with His people. And He helps us in our time of need. No matter how great the reality of the need is, or no matter how great it is to us, it may not be that big a deal in reality, but if it is to us, our God loves us. Our God chose us. Our God is here for us. Our God answers us. Our God helps us in our time of need. And as we go through the rest of this life, we have just a short while to go. Let's just try to remember to be hospitable and be kind and be welcoming and entertain strangers. You never know when the Lord's going to send one of His angels to entertain you. And doesn't that cause us to give Him all glory? Doesn't that cause us to completely bypass the angels and say, all glory be to God for His great provision for us, His great care of us, everything? I'm telling you, if I could, I would station soldiers around my children. That's exactly what He has done. That's exactly what He's done. And we give Him great, great thanks and praise. Not only did He redeem us from our sins, not only has He prepared a place for us, but He has stationed permanent care for us from here to there. And that's just something to be thankful for, something to rejoice over. All right, let's all stand together.